Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's certainly good to be here, as always. I love to see your smiling, wonderful faces every time we come here. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to me to be here with you guys. So as I get started here, I'd like to ask a quick question to all of us. What are we doing here? Why do we sit in these seats every Sabbath and every holy day? Well, there are many reasons. One is commanded, but the primary reason that I'd like to focus on is that we gather together every Sabbath, every holy day, to worship our God. We gather to worship. Worship today is a word that has been loaded with a lot of personal mystery and imagined spiritual experience by which people mean whatever they mean. When we talk about worship, we're talking about something very specific, very objective, revelatory, and unfolded for us in the pages of our Bible. It is not private or personal in a sense that you define it yourself. It doesn't rise out of your instincts, your feelings, experience, or our imaginations. True worship is simply treating God in the way that God has commanded us to treat Him. That's what it is. So today my message will be a basic introduction of sorts, if you will, on the subject of worship. And if you're looking for a title, the title of this message is Worship 101. Worship 101. Now, the common word for worship in the Greek, it's a very common word used, is proskuneo, which means to worship. It signifies bowing down, prostrating oneself, or kissing the hand. It is honor paid to God, and that is why we come together every Sabbath and holy day, to give honor to our God. You might hear someone say, well, you know what? I went to service today, but I didn't get anything out of it. Well, really? That wasn't the point. If you came to get something out of the service, out of it, you missed the whole point of the service. You should have shown up to give something to God. God is the focus of our worship. It is giving to God honor, reverence, homage, adoration, glory, and obedience. Now, I think it's important for us to understand the distinction between two terms. The first one is worship, as I've just said, and the second one is ministry. Ministry is what we do for others. Worship is what we give to our God. Ministry is that which comes down to us from the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through us to others. Worship is that which goes up from us by the Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son. As we get started here, I want us to have a very foundational passage. So if you grab your Bibles, let's start by turning over to John 4. This is a beginning of the whole thing here. John 4, and we'll start in verse 21. You may recall this is the story of the encounter between Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Beginning in verse 21 of John 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You," in verse 22, "you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews." You have there a very clear distinction between useless, ignorant worship and informed worship. And verse 23, we're still going on here, verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." And verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Now, verses 23 and 24 are definitive when it comes to understanding worship. Every word in those verses is critical. Every word. The Father seeks true worshipers. Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Very basic, right? We all understand that. The Father seeks true worshipers who worship in truth and not in some form of a pagan ritual, if you will, or in an uninformed, deceived manner as modern or Christianity in general is doing as we speak. Revelation 12, 9 and 10, don't turn near, we all know this, that Satan has deceived the entire world. And they do not worship the Father in Christ in the true manner, in truth and spirit. In Philippians 3:3, Paul defines believers as those who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. We are worshipers. We gather to worship collectively as a body. Do we worship personally? Of course we do. Do we worship when we're alone? Yes, we do. Of course we do. We do not worship God, however, in a personal, private manner. We do not worship on a personal, private God. We worship the God revealed in Scripture in the manner that He has revealed that He is to be worshipped in Scripture. So let's ask the question, what is acceptable worship? What is worship in spirit and truth, and what is a spiritual worship in general? And how long has it been since we've even asked these questions? It's so basic. We all understand. I want to ask some questions and then I'll answer them, okay? You ready? Number one, how important is worship? How important is worship? Or perhaps, of what priority is worship? Let me answer that by giving you two things to think about, okay? Two things. Number one, Scripture calls for worship as the priority. And there are so many places to go to in Scripture to deal with this. I just have to just pick a couple of them. So let's begin in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, this where the Ten Commandments are located. Here the law begins the summation of all that God demands of humanity with a call to worship Him and Him alone. In Exodus 34:14, this is repeated in a simple statement, and I'm going to read the NIV here. Exodus 34 and verse 14. Exodus 34:14. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. This is further defined later on in the second giving of the law in the book of Deuteronomy. We know that. Where the same commands are repeated in Deuteronomy 5 and verses 6 through 21. The law is repeated. This is further defined again in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. I'm going to go there. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Okay. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And here it is spelled out what worshiping Him means. Verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might." And verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." In verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." And verse 9, last one, "And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You know, when you live your life in every way, standing up, sitting down, lying down, walking in the way, going in the house, out of the house, in the gate, out of the gate, remember this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and all of your strength. This is the first and great commandment, right? And God wanted his people to never forget that. He was to be the focus of their life at all times when they were awake and conscious. And that should be our goal as well. And so when God established his people, he gave them a place to worship. Remember? You remember he gave them a tabernacle. And there he says in Exodus 25 and verse 22, let's see. It says, and there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give you in the commandment to the children of Israel. And also in Psalms 95, if you want to turn there, Psalms 95, 6 through 7, Psalms 95, 6 through 7. It says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. That expresses the attitude of true worship. In the New Testament, just a couple of passages to draw your attention, just to help us in defining the biblical command to worship as the priority. Remember, that's the point here. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and I like the NIV on this one a little better. It says, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are called to acceptable worship, to a spiritual service which is acceptable to God. So worship is essential because it is commanded in Scripture. It is the priority. It is the priority. And to do that, we have to have a kind of worship, please note, that is not conformed to this world. Therein lies the difference between us and Christianity of this world. The churches of this world have, throughout history and presently, continue to conform to this world, to the trends of society, of Satan's world that we live in, simply to gain a following. Truth has and is simply never been a part of their worship, which is sad. We are to worship God in a way that is not at all conformed to this world, but is reflective of minds that have been transformed by being renewed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, to be consumed by the will of God, and not the things that appeal to this world. That's our struggle. In 1 Peter 2:5, I'm just going to paraphrase here. Peter says that we are living stones built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because the Father seeks true worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. You are to present your body, your whole being, as an act of spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God in worship. John 4, 23 and 24. You are a royal priesthood. We are a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. This is what it means to be a true Christian, right? Worship is the priority. Worship is first. And before ministry, there is always worship. It was Isaiah in chapter 6. I'm just going to mention this here. Isaiah in chapter 6, you may recall that account. This is where he was given a vision of the angels worshiping God. They were saying, holy, holy, holy. And once he saw the holiness of God, he was destroyed and devastated personally. And he cried out that he should be cursed along with Israel because of he had a dirty mouth, and he lived among a people who spoke very horrible language. A dirty mouth people, if you will. And the Lord sent an angel with a coal from the altar and put it on his mouth. You recall that story. Remember? Because penitence and cleansing is painful. It is. I mean, just to say I'm sorry is a painful act. That's the imagery there. And his sin was cleansed and he was purged. And then God said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And the Lord sent him, right? Service always follows worship. It's the vision of God that comes first, as it did for Isaiah, and then service. So worship is essential because it is commanded in Scripture. It is the priority. Before we are anything else, we are worshipers of the true God. The God who is not only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it would be well, I think, for us to say of ourselves, we are not only believers in Jesus Christ, are we? We are not only Christians, but we are worshipers of the Father, the God who created everything through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are worshipers. Our worship is not personal. It's not personal, private, intuitive, or a mystical kind of spirituality. Our worship is the future. Is the true. Let me rephrase this. Our worship is of the true God revealed in Scripture. And so the second point here is there's a second thing to consider. When we think about what is the priority, and it's worship, we could also ask, ready? Ask, how vast are the implications of our worship? And the answer to that is, how we worship influences everything in our lives. Everything. Absolutely everything. It touches all of life. Absolutely all of life. This is such a vast subject. Again, I can only just briefly start to cover it. But how we worship is the most defining element of our life. Superficial worship, shallow worship, wrong worship cripples, debilitates, robs God of what is rightfully His. And it limits our usefulness, denigrates our whole Christian calling. We need to worship in the right way, to give God what He is due, and put ourselves in a position of being most useful to our God. Now, what is an unacceptable worship? I think we might need to cover this for a second. What is unacceptable worship? Worship that has a wrongful influence, a wrong effect, a wrong result. I'm going to briefly just touch on four types of unacceptable worship, because I want to remain on the positive side of things. The first one is worship of false gods. Okay, I think I'm starting with the obvious one. We all know this. Worship of false gods is unacceptable. You see that in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, the worship of false gods. Secondly, another form of unacceptable worship is to worship the true God in a wrong form of manner. A quick example of that is in Exodus 32. If you recall, Israel didn't take long before they were worshiping God as a golden calf that they built with their very own hands. And thirdly, we could say another form of unacceptable worship is the worship of the true God in a self-styled way. And what I mean, you can find that in Leviticus 10. If you want to go there, I'm just going to briefly mention the story there. Leviticus 10 of Nadab and Abihu, we may remember that, the sons of Aaron who took the respective fire pans and offered strange fire before the Lord. You remember that? Then fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And they died before the Lord. This act of disobedience and irreverence resulted in their immediate demise, highlighting the seriousness of violating God's command in worship. They were doing it their own way. And God said, nope, not at all. Not going to happen. Not only are we to worship the true God in the true form as spirit and not as an idol, but in the true way which He has ordained. Glad I had the phone on vibrate. My sister was calling me. And fourthly, another acceptable way to worship God is to worship the true God in the wrong attitude. Right? In the wrong attitude. You might actually be worshiping the true God in spirit and truth. Not only not in a form made by man. You might be worshiping the true God as spirit in ways that Scripture says you are to worship. But you might be doing it for the wrong attitude. You know, time and eternity are determined by the nature of a person's worship. Acceptable worship touches all of life. God is to be worshiped as the true God, in true form as that eternal spirit, in the true way that Scripture calls us to worship, and with a true heart and attitude. And then it becomes acceptable worship to God. So what is acceptable worship? What is acceptable worship? And we'll close with this. Look at Psalm 24, 3 through 6. Psalms 24 and verses 3 through 6. It says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Meaning, who can come up to worship? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. I.e., you're clean on the outside and inside, right? He who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And verse 6, this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, even Jacob. Acceptable worship is the most defining thing in our lives. God wants to be worshiped acceptably. We are first and foremost, beyond anything else, worshipers of the living God. You hear all these people today say, well, you know, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, but I don't really go to church. I hear that all day long. And I have a very private faith. I actually heard that from one of our former presidents, remember? I don't know. I'll tell you later. It would be very difficult to call one a true Christian, really, if you didn't hunger and thirst for the collective expression of worship every Sabbath and holy day. We are those who worship in the Spirit of God and give glory to the Father in Jesus Christ. This is the highlight of our lives. Personal worship, yes. In the true way, worship from the heart at all times. But also hunger for the collective expression of worship and praise that comes when the people of God gather together as one body. Right? We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We gather together as those who are true worshipers. In fact, for us, it should be the highlight. Well, it is for me, and I know for you guys too. We can't wait to come together with the people of God to offer worship to our Savior. Worship takes a lot of forms, and true worship touches every area of our lives. I've mentioned that over and over again. Just trying to beat that into you, you know. I'm just going to jump through a couple of quick verses here just to highlight what I just said. Romans 14:18 says, how you worship affects how you treat fellow Christians. That's a matter of acceptable worship. Are you ready? Ephesians 5:10 says, walking in the light is acceptable worship. Philippians 1, verses 11 and 18. Oh, sorry. Philippians 1, verse 11. And also in Philippians 4:18 says, personal holiness is acceptable worship. 1 Timothy 5:4, Gratitude is acceptable worship. 1 Timothy 5:4. 1 Timothy 2:3. Prayer for others is acceptable worship. Last one, 1 Timothy 2:20. Righteous suffering is acceptable worship. Everything in our lives is done by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. And that becomes acceptable worship. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 sort of wraps this up. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16 wraps this up. NIV again says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. In verse 16 of Hebrews, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifice God is pleased. So with praise, with thanksgiving, with all manner of doing what is good and sharing with others, all of that constitutes worship. So we worship. This is the most defining element in our lives, to please God by doing what pleases Him as an act of worship. May our worship be the priority in our lives, and may it permeate every aspect of our lives, each and every day.